sideways until foliage masked the oak and its occupants. Then he scrambled to his feet and haired off between the trees. He had no destination in mind, no provisions and no horse, but while he still had legs he could run. Ferns and brambles whipped at him, but he didn't feel them at all. When he'd put about a mile between him and the dragon, he stopped and collapsed against a tree, which then spoke to him. "Psst," it said. Dreading what he might see, Rincewind let his gaze slide upwards. It tried to fasten on innocuous bits of bark and leaf, but the scourge of curiosity forced it to leave them behind. Finally, it fixed on a black sword, thrust straight through the branch above Rincewind's head.
"Don't just stand there," said the sword,
in a voice like the sound of a finger dragged around the rim of a large empty wine glass.
"Pull me out."
"What?" said Rincewind, his chest still heaving.
"Pull me out," repeated Kring. "It's either that or I'll be spending the next million years in a coal measure. Did I ever tell you about the time I was thrown into a lake up in the..."
"What happened to the others?" said Rincewind, still clutching the tree desperately.
"Oh, the dragons got them, and the horses, and that box thing. Me too, except that Harun dropped me. What a stroke of luck for you."
"Well," began Rincewind. Kring ignored him.
"I expect you'll be in a hurry to rescue them," it added.
"Yes, well..."
"So if you'll just pull me out, we can be off."
Rincewind squinted up at the sword. A rescue attempt had hitherto been so far at the back of his mind that if some advanced speculations on the nature and shape of the many-dimensioned multiplexity of the universe were correct, it was right at the front. But a magic sword was a valuable item. And it would be a long trek back home, wherever that was. He scrambled up the tree and inched along the branch. Kring was buried very firmly in the wood. He gripped the pommel and heaved until the lights flashed in front of his eyes.
"Try again," the sword said encouragingly.
Rincewind groaned and gritted his teeth.
"Could be worse," said Kring. "This could have been an anvil."
"Yagg!"
hissed the wizard, fearing for the future of his groin.
"I have a multidimensional existence," said the sword.
"Hmm?"
"I have had many names, you know."
"Amazing," said Rincewind. He swayed backwards as the blade slid free. It felt strangely light. Back on the ground again, he decided to break the news.
"I really don't think the rescue is a good idea," he said. "I think we'd better head back to the city, you know, to raise a search party."
"The dragons headed hubwards," said Kring. "However, I suggest we start with the one in the trees over there."
Sorry, but..."
"You can't leave them to their fate."
Rincewind looked surprised.
"I can't," he said.
"No, you can't. Look, I'll be frank. I've worked with better material than you, but it's either that or... Have you ever spent a million years in a coal measure?"
"Look, I..."
"So if you don't stop arguing, I'll chop your head off."
Rincewind saw his own arm snap up until the shimmering blade was humming a mere inch from his throat. He tried to force his fingers to let go. They wouldn't.
"I don't know how to be a hero," he shouted.
"I propose to teach you."
Bronze Psepha rumbled deep in his throat. Hoi Sedra, the dragon rider, leaned forward and squinted across the clearing.
"I see him," he said.
He swung himself down easily from branch to branch and landed lightly on the tussocky grass, drawing his sword. He took a long look at the approaching man, who was obviously not keen on leaving the shelter of the trees. He was armed, but the dragon rider observed with some interest the strange way in which the man held the sword in front of him at arm's length, as though embarrassed to be seen in its company. Kai Sedra hefted his own sword and grinned expansively as the wizard shuffled towards him. Then he leapt. Later, he remembered only two things about the fight. He recalled the uncanny way in which the wizard's sword curved up and caught his own blade with a shock that jerked it out of his grip. The other thing, and it was this he averred that led to his downfall, was that the wizard was covering his eyes with one hand. Kai Sadra jumped back to avoid another thrust and fell full length on the turf.